Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Now, let us enter into a period of worship. And this morning, I want us to recognize afresh that in the Word of God, it says this about the Lord's Day. I want you to get this. If you don't get this, you're missing everything I'm trying to emphasize this morning. And the scripture I want to use to start this service this morning is in Isaiah. And let me read it to you. And it goes like this. Listen to this. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing the pleasure of my pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He said, you do right, listen to me. And he said, I'll bless you, and that's what we want. Now, it is referred to as the Lord's Day as a day of rest and gladness.
Oh.
And our Father, we do count it a privilege to come into your presence, because in ourselves we don't have a right to do that. But because our Lord Jesus at the cross of Calvary, he made it possible that we have access to the throne, your throne of grace and mercy. Thank you, Father. And now today we want to honor you, and we want to express our appreciation and thankfulness for watching over us this past week and guiding and directing us. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, that we have a time like this morning that we can study your word, your very words, and that we ask that you would help us to be good students, to be good children, and not only to be hearers of the word, but that we be doers of it. Help us, Spirit of God, in all the aspects of our life, spiritually and mentally and physically. We are a needy people, and we give you honor and glory for your goodness to us in the past. You've arranged for us to be taken care of by those who raised us. Thank you for mom and dads and loved ones. Thank you, Father, for up to this time, here we are, and we would ask that we might have an expectation that you're not through with us, that you would clearly show us that we're in need of salvation and that we are sinners at our best. We pray that you would show us that we need to acknowledge our sins and confess it and put our trust and confidence in Jesus Christ's work at Calvary, dying in our place, taking a wrath that we deserve. And Lord, as we would trust him, you give us everlasting life and to know him and to believe him. May it be the good plight of all of us this morning. Not only of us, but of our loved ones. We have loved ones, Lord, in our family that need to be saved. We have relatives. We have neighbors and those who work with us. And, well, Lord, this whole world. And we're thankful that you are working out your will. Work out your plan in each of our lives. Now, Lord, you have given us the joy, really, of praying for others. We pray for these this morning that we heard from by way of letter. We pray for Ishmael Woodard. And as he is desirous of finding work and doing that which will please thee, and so he can serve you, we ask that you would guide him in his procedure at the moment, learning how to be a truck driver. Then we heard from this Eric and Susan Thompson. Thank you for Eric helping us in our first outdoor meeting and providing for us such a literature, Lord. Thank you for Eric and Susan. We ask that you would look upon them even as they are in Washington, D.C., desirous of doing your will there and having some open-air meetings. We pray that you will watch over them, give them wisdom, and help them. And then, Father, coming back, we ask you to look upon us as a church. And though we recognize that we have areas that we need to improve, and so we pray you help us along this way. Our Father, may our Lord Jesus Christ receive honor and glory. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Will you sing with me, O Jehovah, hear my words? It is Psalm 5. We're to sing psalms, you know. But it's hymn number 47, but it is Psalm 5. O Jehovah, hear my words.
Who?
the biblical use of Sunday. Now, I have preached two other sermons on this, and some of you have been very, you know, attentive. But I think it's a very, very important matter that we understand the right use of the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And there are some duties, and there's supposed to be some delights. Oh, day of rest and gladness. And I don't want to spend too much time on one and not the other, but I tell you, it should be a delightful day, because I had an Amishman sent to me, and he said it to me really. He said, I hate Sunday. Nothing, you can do nothing. Now, maybe you were reared in a home where they were so strict. Sit down, be quiet. I'm going to bed. I want any noise out of you kids. Yeah, we go to church. I want you to sit in church. Behave yourselves. Maybe give them a whack or two. Well, you say there aren't people like that. No, not anymore, not much. No, it used to be maybe the Puritans were kind of disciplined, and I don't knock it. Because the Word of God says, listen, in all this matter of worship and having the Sunday as a special day, he does remind us that in chapter 58 of Isaiah, the last two verses, and the Lord speaking, the Lord has spoken at the last few words of verse 14. So this is the Lord speaking. He said, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, and not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I'll cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And may the Lord take the word of God this morning and speak to our hearts. Yes, you need to have a right understanding about this, because it's not being observed rightly today. It isn't being observed rightly. I still believe there are a lot of people that hate this day. And my two past messages on this subject, and perhaps we'll have yet Wednesday night yet on this subject, is because I just feel that it's such an ordinary day today. Let's go shopping. Hey, how about it? Let's go to the football game. Oh, come on, let's go. Let's have rip-roaring time. Let's have a party. I had a Sunday school superintendent years ago. I had to deal with him. He'd go home after Sunday school and start up the tractor and the baler. Nice day. Good day to do the Lord's work. What? A good day. I'll finish doing my baling. I couldn't believe that. But there are Christians that they say, hey, that's okay. There are a lot of folk that are saying, hey, this business of having some do's and don'ts, that's over. We don't have any laws anymore. It's all by grace. So just forget about all these restrictions. And I don't like do's and don't list either, friends. I really don't like them either. But there are some things that need to be considered biblically. I have my opinions. You have yours. I try to stay with the Word of God. And I want us to go to the second book of the Bible in chapter 31. And Exodus 31 and verses 12 through 18. The last part of that chapter 31 of Exodus. And I think this pretty well explains what I've said in the past. As the Sunday goes, so goes the piety with it. No longer a pious day, and no longer a day of a holy day of the Lord, and also the doctrines of the Word of God are just being discounted and not looked at in light of this important day. You see how important it is. You listen up to this. Exodus in chapter 31, and I start to read at verse 12. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou unto also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord thy God, that the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. Whoa, did I read that right? Huh? Boy, I'm glad that the Lord isn't carrying this out. But he said to anyone, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, verse 14. You better see there's a seriousness to this. For it is holy unto you, and every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people 6 days, and may work be done. But it in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth only any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. And in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tablets of testimony, tablets or tables of stone written with the finger of God. Now, if I were to stop there and say, boy, preacher, we're in trouble. Did God say that? Yes, he did. Well, I'm glad he said it's for Israel and not for me. Oh, that's interesting. There is this pronoun also of you. Listen, this is the word of God. I know there's an old covenant. I know there's a new covenant. The fourth commandment has not been abrogated. It's still in effect. But you say, well, Christ made a difference, preacher. Won't you get to that? I will. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has taken our punishment and he has arranged it so as this is not being carried out. Because I'll tell you, I wouldn't be here this morning if this was carried out. And you wouldn't either. Wow, that's quite interesting. Let's make it really interesting. How should we biblically observe Sunday? Because Sunday is the first day of the week. Something happened. Something's changed from the old to the new. What's it all about? Well, I'll try. I hope you don't have the idea like young folk that are dating. I'll speak for the guys. How far can I go with this business of dating? Huh? How far can I go with dating her? I hope you're not looking and saying, how far can I go as far as Sunday, as worshiping the Lord and obeying the Lord, the fourth commandment? I tell you, I don't know how you feel about police cars and sirens and these here alarms that are on cars, but they kind of irritate me. I think if you are a professional, you blow the horn so everybody knows who you are. God is blowing the horn here and putting the siren on for us to see what it's all about, how to biblically observe the first day of the week. I think he's blowing the horn. I think the light's shining. But some of us are pretty dull, you know. Say, woo-woo. No, no. I tell you, seriously, is it you fool with God? He says, I'll put you in your place. You don't want to pay attention to this? Just go on your happy way. No, our God, he wants us to be careful how to observe his day, which is now observed on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. We call it the Lord's Day. Can you kind of show me a little bit about this business of how that it was back then and how that it is now and how it's going to be in the future? Can you tell me a little bit about that? Can you explain it to me a little bit? Yeah, I can. Let's go to Genesis chapter. Ooh, let's go to chapter 1 of Genesis. See, are you going to give us a background? Sure. A little excursion, not too much, but a little excursion. You need an excursion. You need sometimes to have these reviews. Well, I'm in the first chapter of Genesis, and I want to look at verse 31, the last verse. And then I'm going to go on to the second chapter of Genesis. And I want to read the first four verses. Why? Well, I want you to see originally how things were. That verse 31 of Genesis 1, God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And I like that. He was pleased. Oh, I like that. He said, very good. He was pleased. He was so pleased that he did this. It was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and all the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. They say, hey, sounds like we go to bed Sunday afternoon, preacher. I guess that suits me. Whoa, ho, ho, ho. That word rested has the idea of ceasing. I hope you get that. 6 days you do what you do. Your play, your recreations, and your work. But one day out of the week, you cease. C-E-A-S-E. That's what the word rest means. Oh. Well, okay. But you were happy. And the Lord, and I really believe this is what it's saying. After he created all these things, it's like when you do a good job, and you've done a good job, and it's done well. You say, boy, I'll tell you what, I did my best, and that's what I have. You see, yep, that's pretty good. Yep, pretty good. I believe the Lord's looking at his whole creation. And he said, that's good. And he took time to enjoy it. That's what I believe. That's teaching in Genesis chapter 1:31 through 2, verse 4. Alright, Lord. What else are you going to show here? He says, well, go to Exodus. Go to Exodus 20. Why? There's been a change. That day of rest and ceasing from work. And I believe there are people who did this before Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments. And we go to the 20th chapter of Exodus to get the Ten Commandments, don't we? And in that, we already this morning read Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. We read these verses about remember the Sabbath day of Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. Seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea, the sea and all that in them is, and rested, or the word could be ceased, the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath and he hallowed it. See, I heard that twice now, preacher. That's good. Remember. Now, I want to remind you, the Lord never gets tired. He didn't need to take a snooze. He's God Almighty. He didn't need a snooze. And sometimes we need to see that. But he did cease and say, I tell you, that creation is just, I'm pleased. Good. So we have now given to a people 10 commandments, and a fourth one tells them there has to be one day out of six that they have, especially that they may have a vacation. Doesn't say that. Well, that's what it amounts to. How many weeks do you get from your job for vacation? Some of you retired guys, you got 3-4 weeks. My father-in-law got 4 or 5 weeks vacation from a factory. Man, with pay. I guess that day's gone, isn't it? Woo. 52 weeks in a year. One day out of 52 weeks means 52 days. You know what? That's almost 4 weeks. It's better than 4 weeks. 4 trials are 48 plus whatever to make 52. He said, I want you to stop what you're doing. You're a busy guy. We're all real busy. I want you to stop and cease what you're doing. I don't care whether it is you're sports-minded, your hobbies, or your work, whatever you're doing. He said, I want you to take a day, and I want you to contemplate, meditate. I want you to think upon these matters. It's very serious. You're not only physical, you're not only mental, your brain, you're also spiritual. And the spiritual side of us is the most important side of us. For when we die, we want to be sure that we go to be with the Lord. And we need to be saved. Spiritual side is very important. Well, I guess we spent some time on Exodus 20. Let's move on a little further. How far are you going to go? Well, we already were in Exodus 31, but then it's not right near. It doesn't hurt to repeat. Line upon line, precept upon precept, hear word and their word. I'd like to really spend a little time there, this passage. I really think that we have a nonchalant idea about, well, this is now a new day, and it's all been changed, and you don't have to worry about these things, and hey, don't sweat it. Be careful. This is God's word. The Bible is God's word. Be careful. And the Lord's saying in this section of Exodus 31, those 12 through 18, I tell you, when I read that, it sounds like a siren blowing and a horn blowing, and there's a flares going up in the air, and it says, listen, I want you to know that he said, you, Joseph, or Moses, verse 12, he spoke to Moses, he said, now I want to tell you something. You're the head man, aren't you? He said, I want you to speak on the children of Israel. Well, you know, the Bible does speak about making sure the preachers tell what God has to say, and I'm trying to tell you this morning, and you're a child of God through faith in Christ, it's still application. He said, verily my Sabbath, I'm in verse 13, ye shall keep, for it's a sign between you, between me and you throughout your generations. And that ye, and the word you there, ye, that's pronoun, that's pretty personal, you. No, not me, you. Oh, that's the Jews, no, you and the Jews. This is for you also, for your learning, for your instruction. Okay, for my instruction. What am I supposed to get out of this? He said, you know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. And that's a beautiful word. That word sanctify is to separate you. Some people, you recognize that they're different by the way they dress or by the vehicle they drive. They're holy people. Well, some of them are. Most of them are just like us. Sinners having the same problems. But we identify them. Oh, that's certain so-and-so people. They're Amish. Oh, they're Mennonites. Yeah. They're separated. Well, you say, well, separated from what? Well, if you know the whole story, you wouldn't get so excited about it. They're as materialistic as any of us. But it doesn't show. It's external. Most of it, you don't show it. You've got to be around them to find out. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that we say they are, we think of them as being a peculiar people, a different people, because of the way they dress and the way they live. But if you find out that it's really quite convenient the way they have things too. Well, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that today God wants us to be a separated people. We're not to be like everybody else. We're not to conform to this world, to be more like it all the world. I want to be just like everybody else. I don't want to be an oddball. Well, who wants to be an oddball? But God says, I want you to be a separate people. When I talk, I want you to walk. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Yes, I will say this. When you pulled the car out of the driveway this morning and said, where is he gone? Where are they gone? Oh, they, every Sunday morning, I see them gone. You say, are you minimizing that? No. because they're mowing lawn, they're washing cars, they're going to have a party, they're going to have a picnic, they're going to have a big deal today. But that person, they're going to church. You say, well, what are you trying to say? I'm saying a little thing like that is sanctifying. You say, I don't know what you mean. That means in verse 13, that puts you separate from the others. And God said, I want you to be separate from others. All right, that's way back then. You're talking back there. But the principle still is around town. Verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. I'd be just a little careful. See, that's back then. That isn't for us. Just be a little careful. This is God's word, and there are principles. And since the fourth hasn't been abrogated, there are some principles here that you just got to take a little time with. See, I believe a Christian can be called home maybe a little before his original time, the time to be born, the time to die. I think that we can get out a step so far, the Lord says, you know, he's not really a good testimony. She's not a good testimony. I think I'll have my angel just pick him up, the death angel. He said, I want him to be a separate people. I want them to talk, I want them to walk, and to be like their Savior, the Lord Jesus, in as much as possible. And one of the ways to do it is to find out what He expects of us, and I hope, again, I'm not giving you do's and don'ts, but what He kind of expects of us as Christians in the day in which we live, and we observe the first day of the week, which is the Lord's Day, or it's called Sunday, too. Be careful. When my wife goes out in the car, I said, hey, look twice. And she said, look twice. She said, sometimes you have to look three times when you pull out. Yeah, look twice at this. Just don't slough it off and say, wah. No, no, no. She said, be careful. You don't want to be put to death before your time. Wherefore the children, verse 16 of Exodus 31, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. You say, that's for Jews. And I said, yes, sir, that really is. But I'll read something in the Bible that there's a Jew and then there's a real Jew, which is a spiritual Jew. And you say, don't get into that. Well, the Bible teaches it. Why should I get into it? If you know Christ as Savior, you're part of the family of Abraham, yeah, you are, and you're a spiritual Jew or an Israelite. So I don't get what you're saying. Well, just be careful. Throw the baby out with the wash water. No, don't do that. Don't do that. He said, it's a sign, verse 16, it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the seventh day he rested, or he ceased, and was refreshed. And he said to Moses, he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him, upon the Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Wow. Pretty authoritative, isn't it? The commandments. Well, about right here, I'm going to say, no work. How in the world? I don't see how that even practical. Why? Well, if I had a heart attack, I'd have to maybe get some help. Yeah. Well, there are people that have to work in medical things. Why? That says no work. Works of necessity and mercy the Bible allows for. Got an animal down at the barn? Well, I may have to go down to the barn and work. You say, well, you're not supposed to work. Works of necessity and mercy are allotted for in the Word of God. And we can go on to that too, but I'm not going to do that. Well, let's go on with this excursion. Sure, let's make it easy. Let's go to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, and go to the very last chapter of Matthew 28. and see whether we can learn anything about this matter of a biblical use of the Lord's Day or Sunday. And so Matthew is writing to, especially to the Jews, I know that. And in this last chapter of Matthew, I come down here to something significant here. Let's read, starting with verse 1 of Matthew 28. What are you trying to show? Well, listen up. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. Oh, now, first day of the week. You're going to talk about, I'm going to talk about the first day of the week, Sunday, as we call it, or the Lord's Day, as I prefer it. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn upon the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Christ had died. You know that, and was buried. That's what we're talking about here. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I love it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, with fear and with what? With great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Now, there you get a little picture. Christ arose from the grave, and it's the first day of the week. I know that. Well, that's normally what we refer to as Sunday. Yeah, I know that. And it's also referred to as the Lord's Day. We'll find out about that. And so what about it? And so it commemorates the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And that's quite a day. What is? Commemoration of the Lord's resurrection is quite a day. Every Sunday should be what we refer to as Resurrection Sunday. That's what it's all about. And there ought to be a delight. Hey, listen, we're not going to be put us in a grave like you do the dogs and the cats, and we'll stay there forever, but we're going to come forth as Jesus Christ came forth from the grave. There's a resurrection. And there's glorification if you know Christ. Hey, boy. Some ought to be some delight here this morning. God's been good to us, hasn't he? And he also is making plans for us for the future. Not just a dead place, a boring place. Church is boring. Well, why is it boring? It may be that your own heart, it may be that you're not taking it seriously what the Lord God says about this day. I bet you're not real happy with when Monday comes. A lot of you, I bet you're not real happy. Say, man, I'm tired. I got a little extra rest, but I'm still kabooshed. Yeah, well, see, it's a 24-hour day. No. Yes, it is. Midnight to midnight. Last night at 12 o'clock, that starts the Lord's Day. That starts Sunday. The Lord's Day starts at 12 o'clock midnight. And when does it end? It ends tonight at 12 o'clock. 24 hours. And it's not a half day Lord's Day. It's a whole day Lord's Day. I thought going to church was all you had to do about these matters. Well, I think we ought to see what they did. Let's go to Acts. Let's go to Acts 20. Why? Where are you going there? The early church. Sure. The early church. We say, what did the early church do? That's what we want to be. We want to be New Testament Christians. Good. You want to be a New Testament Christian? Yes. Well, then look at Acts 20 and read verse 7. Why? Well, it tells something about the first day. What's it say? Acts 20, verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, and Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. He was a windy preacher, wasn't he? Anyway, first day of the week. That's when they met. Oh, not Saturday. You know what? I'm certainly glad I'm not a Seventh-day Baptist. I'm certainly glad I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. I'd like to be a New Testament, a first day of the week kind of a Christian. If something's changed. We're not under the old law as such, but we're under now the stipulations and what the early church did and has to do in commemoration, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus. And they met, and they had the sacraments. So no, we don't use that word. We use the word ordinances. Like we're going to have, the Lord willing, on the 20th of this month, the ordinance of the baptism outside there. And the Lord's Supper. That's what they did. They met together. There's preaching. There's singing. Praising the Lord. And the people entered into it. Saying, well, it's good that I don't have to go to work. Man, it's been a rough week. You talk to everybody and say, oh, I'm busy. Yeah. How's it going? Oh, man, I'm busy. I'm busy. Well, you need one day to have a vacation out of every week. A market for the soul. Get some good things for your soul. So your soul can rejoice. Delight in the Lord. Man, do we need that, Lord? You know we need that. You going to stop there? No, I'm not going to stop there. But it's a day that you get some the means that God uses to instruct us and the means of grace for us is that He's lovingly given us the time that we might do this. Again, so that it isn't going to be that way. Just an ordinary day. You show up for work tomorrow. Yeah, but boss, that can wait till Monday. I said tomorrow. If you want this job, you be here tomorrow. Don't tell me about going to church. Hey, they're having a big special today. Only today. Not tomorrow, but today's a special. Man, I got to get there. Really now? Yes, sir. And by the way, there's a game this afternoon. And I want to play right field if I can. That's where I used to play. Get me out there in right field. Softball? Yeah. And there's a good game today on TV, and I have to see it. Boy, was I thrilled when Brigham Young University won over the Southern Arizona. What group was that? Beat them. They were top men. Third place. In the, what are you telling us this for, preacher? Because we get all wound up in sports. And what a thing it is to hang over us and grab us. Grabs us so much that we've got to do it on Sunday, too. Boy, now you're getting do's and don'ts here, preacher. I thought you said, listen, I tell you, it's really something. We have the command of God, and I just can do what I want to. No, you cannot do just what you want to. You're under grace, God's goodness, and He's blessed you, and His Word of God still stand. And if you say, well, it sounds like legalism to me, preacher. You're trying to tell us that if we don't behave ourselves, we won't go to heaven. I didn't say that at all. Legalism has to do, basically, you're trying to be a good boy, a good girl in order to get to heaven. And it won't work. It's Christ. Yeah, I say I know that. Okay, let's go on to 1 Corinthians. We're close. Acts, Romans, and 1 Corinthians. Why? I want to still find out what the biblical use of Sunday is, or the first day of the week. Well, I'm trying to find out. Now, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1 and 2. Now, the church at Corinth. That was a local church. We're a local church. Now, concerning the collection for the saints. Paul's writing by the Spirit of God. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. You tell the church, There's a need of the saints in Jerusalem. They're going through rough times. There are people going through rough times as far as not having jobs. And I was talking to a couple this week, and he said, I don't know how I'm going to do it. He said, thank God my in-laws are buying us food. Oh, no. No, 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 no. That doesn't happen around here. We're doing fine. Almost every 100 people out there that are workers, 10% of them are lost their jobs. 10 out of every 100 working people. Anyway, here you are. I want you to do something on the first day of the week. Verse 2, 1 Corinthians 16. What are you supposed to do? Well, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, and that there be no gatherings when I come. When they do all this giving and so forth, meeting and so forth, the early church met on the first day of the week. It is called the Lord's Day, and we'll get to that, but it's also referred to as Sunday. I don't like to use that, but that's what it's referred to. Fact of the matter is, it's like a vacation. Not for preachers, we work. I think sometimes we really violate because we don't take much time off. I'll get to work tomorrow. But you're also a preacher, supposed to take a day too, aren't you? Yeah. Well, do you practice what you preach? Excuse me. It's legitimate for me to preach. I know the Word of God said that we just read that last week, that the priests, they work, and they worked hard having sacrifices, and it says they were innocent in doing that kind of work on the Lord's Day. So the Lord allows for preaching. They had preaching here. Okay. Then you take care of your own problem, preacher, about this. I will try to. But the point of it is, we haven't arrived. It's upon the first day, and you give your offering, and there's preaching the first day. You meet the first day, and the ordinances are given, and the church, corporative worship, and I think it's nice. Hey, I could go and by myself, and, you know, I could go off in the woods someplace and have prayer without you folk being around. But I want to tell you, it is nice to have you around. We encourage one another. That's what we do. Nice to see you. You just say that. No, it isn't. When you're not here, I miss you immediately. You don't. I do. We need one another. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is, inasmuch as you see the day coming. What day is coming? Oh, our blessed Lord's coming. We need to assemble together. We need preaching, we need singing, we need praying, we need to have a time together and enjoy one another. I wish we'd spend more time with one another. What do you mean by that? Hello, how are you this morning? Fine. Well, nice to see you. Hope you have a good week. Have a good day. But there's something about it. Now, I've said this before. The Bible teaches hospitality. Now, I know hospitality basically is has the idea for strangers. But if we don't know each other, we're kind of strangers, aren't we? You're kind of strange anyway. What? Careful what you say there. No, I know I am, but get to know each other. Listen, you don't have to agree with me, but I kind of think that Christians ought to get together more. Well, practice it. Well, I try to do that, but you say, well, what do you mean? Well, I think instead of just saying, good morning, how are you? Hope you have a nice week, goodbye. I think it'd be kind of nice if we would have some fellowship together other than just having a little singing together and a little preaching of the preacher, is to have lunch together. Oh, here we go. Have to talk about food now. Listen, why not talk about food? The Bible says, cease from whatever you're doing. You ladies make big meals. My wife says, I'm busy. I can't hear what's going on. And she sees how you can do it Saturday, can't you, ladies? That's shopping day. I know that. But do we have to have a big meal? Come on now, come on. why wouldn't spaghetti and a salad be good enough for any of us? You say, I don't like the spaghetti. Well, then eat the salad. Why couldn't we just have something? You see, well, it takes a lot of work. Don't talk to me about cooking. I know a little bit about it. I'm not professional, no way. I'm simply saying, the Lord's Day, I tell you, dear friends, I think we're missing the boat on not having hospitality towards one another a little more. Have you invited me lately? No, you eat too much. No, listen, have you really invited one another? You've been to each other's home? No, I have. Then you need to listen up. This is a day you say, well, I don't understand. We come to church, we sing and all that. Now you're talking about it's a 24-hour thing. What am I supposed to do Sunday afternoon? You just simply said it isn't right to do what you do the rest of the week. And you even hit upon my special sport. Am I supposed to go to bed? That's the way I'm supposed to. No, listen. My dad did this. He did it. You say a lot, enough that I can remember. Now, he was not a church man until his later days. But he was a man that liked the outdoors. You say, well, wonderful. You know what he'd do? He'd say, come on, we're going to take a walk. We had woods around our place. There's a wood over there, woods over there, and woods over there. He'd say, come on, I'm going to take a walk. And we'd walk through the woods. He'd talk to me. Didn't say too much. Sometimes he'd let a branch come back and smack me in the head to wake me up. He'd talk about this. You see that? Yeah. You know, in the spring, that can be eaten. That's pokeweed. Oh, really? Yeah, you've had some of that. You didn't know it, did you? There was a bunny's nest one time. See that fuzz? I'm just a little guy. You say, what are you talking about? We have children, and they want to wiggle, and they want to jump. And we say, no wiggling, no jumping. Sit down. I'm going to bed. No, you don't understand it. It's supposed to be a day of delight. Delight with these children. They have to do a little playing. But I want to tell you something. In the old days, you say, well, there you go, the old days. How do you know? I read about the old days. And they would read to their children. They would read like Pilgrim's Progress. We have it on the World Wide Web. All you need to do is turn the computer and say, I don't have a computer. Hey, you can get them now for $100. Get a computer and stick in the, we have it, you can have it free. And listen to the, let them learn about the Pilgrim's Progress. I want to tell you, you old guys, if you've never heard the Pilgrim's Progress, you ain't learned anything yet. Sit down, let them listen to it. Oh, let's listen to this. Talk to them. The Jews were told to talk to their children. Put scripture up. Well, that was the Jews. Yeah, well, let them go to the movies. Let them go to the mall. Let them forget about the Lord's Day. And then you wonder, where are my kids? When they left home, they're not interested anymore. Church must have been boring to them. Dad must have been boring. Mom must have been boring too. And no longer is the Lord's Day anything to them. They don't go to church. Now the grandchildren, they don't go either. I think some of us ought to say, maybe there is something to this. Maybe there is an area that we need to say, well, I'm too late for me. I'm an old man. Well, now, wait a minute. You got a responsibility. And you know what? I used to sit around with my dad's friends, and they would, and they had, in the old days, they had enough sense not to be dirty. You say, they, oh, come on. For the most part, there might be a little saying, but they'd laugh, but they knew that there was a boy around. But they would talk about things that they did in the past. I know a man, he's gone, had three boys. He didn't talk about his past. And so when I buried him, I talked to some boys, and you know, Dad never said anything to me about this. That's the first I ever heard anything about Dad doing that and Dad doing this. Now, he was a good man. Loved the Lord. You say, well, why, would your kids know anything about how the Lord worked in your life? Well, they can see me, can't they? Oh, hold on here a minute. They might be interested in knowing a little bit about you, Mom. How as a little girl, your story. You say, what's boring? Maybe it's not. I know some of the children saying, would you fill out this paper? We want to know certain things about you, Mom and Dad. They're interested. Why didn't you take time on the Lord's Day to talk to them about some of the things, the way God's worked in your heart, instead of doing whatever you do? If you're going to take a vacation, and Mom, you know this is true, Dad, say, you know, we've got to make some preparation. That old car's got to get fixed up. We got to get the oil change and so forth. Mom says, I got to get, you know, I got to get a schedule here, how we're going to do things. And you make preparation for a travel, don't you, for a little vacation? Yeah. Why don't you make preparation for the Lord's Day? When? Well, do it on Saturday. Mom, where's my dress shoes? I can't find my dress shoes. Where I looked all over the house, they're nowhere here. And you come to church and people are fuming and say, you know, this was a rat race this morning. I couldn't find his shirt, it was just an awful thing. And I come to church and boy, man, all day. And I'm supposed to be rejoicing. I'm supposed to be happy. And we've had a fight almost all the way to church with the kids and one another. Something's wrong. You can go to work, and I'll tell you, it'll be precise. You know what you're going to do. We're German enough to say, this has to be done precisely. And this is the way you do it. Number one, two, and three. But when it comes to Lord's Day, I don't know what to do. I guess I'll go study. I'm now in school. I'll go in my room and study and do my lessons for Monday. Is that the way you want your children? The Bible says, cease from whatever you have done in the past days. Cease them all. And put your thought upon of worshiping the Lord and having delight in the Lord. Oh, Lord God. And having a good time and enjoying the Lord's Day. All right, I'm a few minutes over. I'll try to tie it up. There coming a day when our blessed Lord comes in the air. It's going to be a new day. There's going to be a new Sabbath as far as I'm concerned. New heaven and new earth. What a day it'll be to live in that new heaven and earth, be with the Lord Jesus. I want to talk more about that. I'm not finished. He said, I want you to remember. I want you to be distinctive. I want you to make preparation for this day. And I want you not just to observe a half a day, but maybe a whole day. Ah, what's hymn number 70, brother? 700, brother. I'll try not to hold you much longer. But oh, you want to be happy? Look at hymn number 700 and what it says.
There's no other way to be happy.
stanzas and then we'll have prayer.
But we never can prove the delights of His love on until all on the altar we lay for the favor He shows.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.